do this. Okay. I hope the person sees it. But I have this letter. See this letter right there? It has no address where it came from. It says it came from Portland, Oregon. It's not signed by anyone. That says who wrote the letter. It's quite a long letter. So you took time and you want me to read it. But if I don't know who sent it to me, and you don't, and it doesn't introduce yourself like my name is such and such a person, it just starts reading, right? So if you want me to read it, please look at this letter, recognize it, and say, Pastor Sandy, that was me who sent you the letter. It's okay to read, because I don't know what's in it. Because it doesn't say.
And the labels were not handwritten. They were printed labels.
Exactly.
No, right. No signature, nothing.
I need you to really. Now, see, this is how I like to receive a letter. This is from Tracy Mickey, as in Mickey Mouse. Sounds like Mickey as in Mickey Mouse.
Oh,
okay.
Tracy.
Okay, so I know, you know, it's not from Mickey Mouse. It's from Tracy Mickey.
And thank you for my letter too, Tracy.
And I know it's from Frederick, Colorado, so she's a Buffs fan. And she sent me this beautiful card. Let's see. She said she thought of me as soon as she saw this. It says, you deserve 1,000 gold stars.
Aww.
From your ears to Jesus, mm-hmm. I mean, from your mouth to Jesus' mouth. Because in the end, I would love for him to say that. But, I definitely love to hear it from you as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pastor Sandy, when I saw this card, I felt guided to get it for you because you have stayed so committed to your calling. Whew. I'm at the end of this calling. I'm letting you know. I don't have any more clues after this. All the breadcrumbs have been eaten. Well, I don't know if we're supposed to eat them. But I followed them home, and we should be getting out of here.
Right.
So, praise God.
Amen.
Okay. All you notes and all the teaching notes and assignments, she said, are greatly appreciated. The whole wide world. So, thank you, Miss Tracy Mickey, as in Mickey Mouse, but cooler. Okay, this is from
cooler.
Deborah Otterburn, and she's probably getting tired of me messing up her name. I need to call you, Deborah. You don't never leave your number, so maybe you like, I don't want to talk to you, I just want to write to you. So, Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, and all of the S4C family. She's been such an encouragement for such a long time. I just feel like she's a sister that I never talked to before. Or maybe I have. I would check and see. Thank you for being faithful to your calling. And it says, for the early Sunday morning and midweek and the wise counsel, the sacrifice, thank you. Praise God. Love and praise. For all, Deborah Otterburn from Valley Center, Kansas City.
Barbecue.
Hallelujah. Huh?
Barbecue.
Is that the best barbecue?
Kansas barbecue.
Is that what they say? That guy sent me that barbecue sauce.
Man, oh man.
Then I was like, I got hooked on it. Then I never got another bottle.
Man,
and I'm like, I know how this is like a drug deal.
The first one's free.
Nah, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I gave Pastor Ben one. I had two, and my boys devoured it. They put that barbecue on everything except cereal. All right. Well, it's time to pray in.
Amen.
Then we're gonna get started. Emerson just got here.
Yo, Emerson.
So, here we go. And Cora's here. Hallelujah. Do you know how Karina's doing? Did you talk to her lately?
Yes.
How's she doing?
She's hanging in there.
She's hanging in there? Good.
Yeah.
Tell her I love her. We could be friends whenever she wants.
Well, me too.
Ooh.
Want to be a friend.
Well, there you go. Amen.
I'll get it. Let's keep praying for her. All right, let's say the
Shama?
No, we're not going to say the Shama. Let's play, say the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to get started. Avanu Shaba Shaba Imgi Kadeshimcha. Tavo Mehuteke Yi Asero Tzancha. Pe Aret Ke Asher Ne Asa Be Shamayim. Tenano Hayom Lechem Ukenu. Uselag Lanu Et Ashmitin. Ke Asher Solechem Anachnu Le Asher Ashmilanu. V'al tevienu l'day masa, ki im chatzilanu mi'chara, ki lacha hamam lacha, v'hagirra v'haytif eret, le'olamei le'olamin. Amen.
Amen.
V'chashem, Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillin, and bonalek. Let's go.
Amen.
Okay, so, last night, I think I finally got the time to clarify how the Lord has set this up to show us where we are, okay? Sometimes things can be overwhelming, like God can just give you so much information. And then this last 2 weeks, it's been like, not overwhelming to the point where emotionally I can't deal with it, but overwhelming to the point is I'm pinpointing you to the exact time and season that you're in so that you can let people know how I set it up, how we got to this, and what's about to happen, okay? Not to mention the fact that Russia invaded Ukraine today.
Yeah.
People are saying, oh, this is going to be such, this is crazy, this is the beginning. And I'm trying to tell you, exactly. This is the beginning of a bigger war, yep. Okay? And the Lord reminded me of an incident that happened when I was a kid. There was a kid at our school, and his name was Billy. I don't know why all bullies are named Billy. But he was at our school, and he was taking people's kids' money. He would walk up, and you'd have your little chocolate milk that you're saving for the last, you know, you get lunch, and he'd just take kids' chocolate milk. And I would see him do stuff like this, but one day he decided that he was going to pick on this girl, and I liked this girl, Shirley McClendon, cutest girl in the fifth grade. So I told her, he asked her for something, and I said, don't give it to him. And she said, and she looked at me, and she looked at him, And he said, for you get out of here. This ain't none of your business. And I said, it is my business. I said, don't give him nothing. And he said, you want to fight me? And I went, boom! And I punched him, and he fell on the ground. He started crying.
Oh!
I was like, as big as you are, I thought I was in for a fight. And he just fell on the ground, started crying. And then after that, we both went to, but all these kids start coming forth saying that I was protecting Shirley, and this other, and he, all the kids came forward who said they, he had beat them up, he had took their money, and all these kids. So he got kicked out of the school.
Wow.
I got suspended for like 3 days, but I came back. But he got kicked out of the school. And the Lord was like, letting me know, like,
wow,
sometimes there can't be a change until there's a war. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to have to be a fight to change earth.
Right.
We're not going to be able to change what's going on in the earth realm. We're not going to be able to change the evil pattern that it's on until a fight takes place,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because he loves his bride, you have to get out of the way. You understand?
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird because I just thought about that. I was kind of telling Shirley McClendon, like, step back. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Even I was like, get out of the way. This is about to get ugly.
Right, right.
So I think that's what God is doing.
One,
you know,
punch.
He's like, you know what? This is about to get ugly, so I'm going to need you guys pull you out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because some things. And so don't think that this war that is just at the peak of it. You know, I don't think the world thinks that it's going to escalate. I think they think it's going to calm down.
Mm.
But when the church is gone,
oh, it's on.
Remember, Russia and China are buddies.
Yeah.
Okay? Iran, Russia, and China are buddies.
Yeah.
But if you think Russia's acting on their own, you are not correct. Because we have to go back to when Obama was president, Putin made a statement and said, I don't understand why these Nephilim are doing what Obama says to do. He said, usually we take orders from them, but they're taking orders from him. And so it was, they were trying to figure out who Obama was. And now, if you go back and look at all this, this all stemmed from the guy Snowden, when he leaked that thing, and he said, and in the report was not just a report of what us spying on you, it was a report on Nephilim activity in the world and what was controlling it. So you would have to go back and look at that whole report and find out what was really going on, because what they were mad at him for was because he was exposing how the world operated, okay? Yeah. And so, not to sound crazy, but that's what was going on, okay?
Well, you passed that past the same.
But Russia, I know, it's like, we already know you're crazy. But Russia did what Obama told him to do. Obama told Putin to take troops and start and move them into Syria and take over that situation with that was going on at the time with ISIS and all that. And Russia did exactly what Obama said. And Russia moved to Syria and they set up a base there. But he was doing what Obama told Russia to do, okay? So don't think like Russia's independently acting on their own and this country's independently acting on their own. Because you have to remember, the whole world was under a plague, right?
Right.
The whole world was under control of somebody that everybody had to cooperate or else, right? So some people will know what I'm talking about when I say this. When you talk about Beast Bank, you're talking about not Federal Reserve, not Vatican Bank. You're talking about the bank that's over all banks.
Yes.
Okay? Beast Bank is over all banks. Bank of International Settlements. Beast Bank is over all banks. So there is a central control over all finances of the world. Mm-hmm. And so this situation needs a war, because without a war, you don't need an Antichrist.
Right.
You understand? Without the world being in a complete havoc, you don't need somebody to come forth and say, I'm the Christ, I came to save you and offer you a 7-year deal and help rebuild the temple in Israel. Okay? Somebody has to come in and calm the whole world down and say he's the Christ. And that's what's about to happen, and that's what's coming. So us seeing a war at the beginning, the church should be excited because Billy's about to get kicked out of school. You understand? The church, and we got to get out the way because it's going to get dangerous, okay? So just letting you know that, because we are there.
Amen.
And especially last night, what we showed, that this year, 5782, could not have been used in any other year except for this year to produce Jesus in the mathematical equation, the Holy Spirit in the mathematical equation, mm-hmm. and the sons of God, the church, in the mathematical equation.
Amen.
All has to be within this first 5 books equation, no matter which way you spin it, right?
Right.
And so now we're going to look at today one of the greatest prophecies in Scripture. And I had never heard anybody talking, preaching on it, but God, like he said, if you learn Hebrew, I'm going to teach you the Bible. First thing you need to know and understand is that the Word of God is prophecy.
Yes.
Okay? Whatever you read is talking about a bigger thing later. Okay? So when you're reading the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about events that are going to happen that Jesus Christ is over. It's all going to be, everything's a typology. Otherwise, Isaac's walking to the mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isaac's walking to the mountain because his dad is going to sacrifice him, right? Because God told him. And for some reason, his dad puts the wood on Isaac and tells him to carry the wood. Now, why would Abraham make his son carry the wood to his own sacrifice?
That's what Jesus is going to do.
So it just starts off like that. You understand? So if you go back and read that, you go, Isaac's taking carrying the wood, and his father's taking him to get sacrificed. They get to the mountain to sacrifice it, and it says on the third day when they got to the mountain to sacrifice it, God changed his mind. So on the third day, Abraham got his son back. And on the third day, God gets his son back, right?
Right.
So it's all typology. And if you don't understand that, now see, they don't teach you this in Bible school. Okay? Because, and this is why God said you're not going to Bible school. Because I was like, I'm going to be a good pastor. I'm going to Bible school and then start a church. Because if you're calling me, I want to be prepared. He's like, hold on, Joe Chipper. You're not going to Bible school. You're going to learn Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to teach you the Bible. Okay? So, typologies is a big part of the Bible because all of the scripture is about Jesus. And Jesus said it before I did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, the first thing we need to do is, I think we're going to be in, let's see, where is this? Is it 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel? Whoa. Okay, it's 2 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 2. Okay.
And what verse?
We're going to be in verse 8. Okay. Now, here we are in chapter 8, and it says, meanwhile, Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishboeth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. Okay? And it says, he made him king over Gilead, Ashuri, Jezreel, and also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all of Israel. Ishboeth, the son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned for 2 years. Okay? The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now, the spirit of the word of God is prophecy.
Yes.
What are you prophesying about there, Father? Because why does David, the king that you chose, can't be ruler in Israel, that he has to go to Hebron, where Gentiles are the ownership of that land, and he has to rule in a Gentile land for 7 years and 6 months? What prophecy is this? It's the prophecy of Christ, because all scripture is about Christ. So where is Christ going to have to rule from for 7 years and 6 months? Because if we look at this, let me go to chapter 5 of that same thing. Go to chapter 5. Okay, it'll be in chapter 4, verse 12. Same book, chapter 4, verse 12. Now, after 7 years and 6 months, this is what David did. David gave order to his men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet and hung the bodies by the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ishboeth and buried it in Abner's tomb in Hebron. So after 7 years and 6 months, David has to come back and fight a war and cut off Ishbosheth's head.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the beginning of verse 5, it says, then all the tribes came to David at Hebron and said, we are your own flesh and blood. Now, of course, all the Jews want to say what?
Come on, Jesus.
Wow, you're our king. Before we didn't let you be king, we chose Ishbosheth. What's that mean? Defiled man.
Yes.
Okay? We chose him. Like they're going to choose the Antichrist, right?
Yes.
So here, let's continue. Then it says, in the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on military campaigns. The Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people. Then why didn't you make me king? Oh, we didn't believe in you then. Really? God said Jesus is going to be king over Israel. Yeshua.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't believe in him then. So he had to go away for 7 years and 6 months and then come back, fight a war, and then now you want him to be your king?
Hmm.
This prophecy is going to be fulfilled.
Yes, it is.
Okay? Now watch this. It says, you will shepherd my people, Israel, and will become their ruler. When all the elders of Israel came to King David at Hebron, the king made an agreement with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel after 7 years and 6 months. So the real king is going to be away from Israel for 7 years in 6 months. Okay? Here, let's continue.
Amen.
Now, let's go to the book of Esther. Now, if every day, every month on the Hebrew calendar is 30 days, then how long is 6 months? 180 days. Okay? So now, I get to Esther, the first chapter, and the first 8 verses are telling you the story about the great 888, which is who?
Jesus.
Listen what it says.
What verse should it have?
I'm in Esther chapter 1, verse 1. It says, this is what happened during the time of Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. Now, I keep telling you guys, Susa is a lily flower, which is the same shape as the Star of David. Okay? So in a way, God is like, I'm really talking about Israel, but I'm using a typology, okay? And now, so it says, this king is reigned in Susa. And in the third year, on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan. On the third day, I'm going to come down to you.
Mm-hmm.
On the third year, he's giving a party. You understand?
Yes.
This three is always going to make a very important appearance into the role, because on the third day, this is when this thing happened. So in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles, officials, military leaders of Persia and Media. The prince and the nobles of the province were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days. Wait a minute. For 180 days, you're just showing everybody your wealth. And then you say, now let's commence to the 7 years. Let's commence to the because the tribulation lasts 7 years. Mm-hmm. But the party lasts for 6 months. So what is it that God has to show Sheba when you get there?
Right.
All his vast wealth and everything. And it says Sheba was like, Sheba means seven. Sheba goes, oh my goodness, your wealth is so incredible. Half of the story wasn't told to me. So here this guy is, he's showing all of his wealth for 6 months. So I think for 6 months, we're going on a tour.
Yes.
Either before the wedding or after the wedding, we're going on a tour to see everything that you've inherited. Because remember, you're an inheritor, you're a co-inheritor with Christ, because now you become the children of the living God.
Yes.
Okay? So, for this whole 6 months, you're on tour.
I love it.
And you're like, oh, and by the way, next, here's the guy in the tour bus. We'll be stopping at Saturn next. Which you have also inherited, you know? And so it's like, all of everything that God has, he's going to show it to his church for 180 days. Okay? Then after that, the tribulation starts.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the 7 years don't start until after 180 days.
Pastor, pull your mic down as far as it'll go.
I got it.
There you go.
Am I spitting on it? Or am I
No. It's so close. It's buffering.
I didn't want to do a Pastor Ben on my mic.
Oh, see?
Okay, so then he has a banquet for 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. It says the garden had hangings of white and blue linen, that's Israel's colors, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings and marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Verse 7, wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other.
Ooh.
A million people with a different cup,
hmm.
All in gold. Where's he get all this gold? It says gold in different from each other. And it said, and the royal wine was in abundance in keeping with the king's liberality. Mm-hmm. Verse 8, by the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink in his own way, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Okay? Now somebody goes, this sounds like a drunken party. I'm like, in a resurrected body, Jesus already told you he will drink of the wine.
Yes.
Not until he sees you in the kingdom.
Yes.
He will not sip of this cup again until I see you in the kingdom. So there will be wine there, but you won't have the ability to get drunk. Mm-hmm. You're in a resurrected body.
Thank God.
And besides, you don't have the ability to overdo things either because you're righteous.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
But people have questions, so I answer them.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So this 180 days just happens to fit the 6 months and 7 years that's in Samuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is about this 180 days? Now, here we go. We're still in Esther, right?
Yes.
Oh, let me get my Esther book out. Okay.
Now, those are not notes from last night.
No, these are not notes from last night. This is from the study that we get, the rapture hidden in the book of Esther. Okay, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter, okay? The word concealed is ha-ester, okay? It means to hide. So when you look at in the book of Esther, when it spells her name is spelled with the same word, is the glory of God to conceal, to hide a thing, okay? So Esther is a book and it's called hidden, okay? What's hidden in Esther? Because we just saw something that's hidden in Esther, and that's a prophecy. The prophecy of the 180 days plus 7, right?
Yes.
Now we see what else is being hidden in the book of Esther. Because we see also that on a third day, Esther goes into the king and the marriage happens on the third day. So we see that that is not hidden because God is showing us these things are being made known to you, that Esther got married on the third day, okay? It's also being shown to you that Israel was in quite a bit of trouble, and Esther and the king collaborated to go and rescue Israel.
Yep.
Which shows you that the church is not going to stay in heaven while Jesus comes back and rescues Israel. Because it says in Revelation, you get on white horses and Jesus rides on a white horse in front of you. And we all come back together. He said, I will come back with all of my saints. Okay? So all of these things are being shown to us in Scripture, but then there's more that's hidden in the book of Esther. Okay? First of all, I want to say this. The name of God, or God mentioned, is 8 times in the book of Esther, okay? So there's 8 different times. But now, remember this. All the people who were canonizing the books said, we're not adding Esther to the book. They said, why? It doesn't even mention God. They didn't know that God writes in codes. So he could, like Jesus on the cross.
Right.
You know? Yeshua, HaNazarene, VeMelech LeHayudin, Jesus, the King of the Jews, right? 4 Hebrew words, Yod starts the first word, He starts the second word, Vav starts the third word, and He starts the last word, Yahweh. So you got Yahweh encoded over Jesus' head.
Yes,
while he's dying on the cross.
Yes.
What'd you say?
Pharisees and I have.
Yeah. So they said, don't say he's the King of the Jews. Write something different.
He said,
I wrote what I wrote. Yep. I'm the king. You stand the way it is. So we have to see that God is coding. So God coded his name inside of the book of Esther, but it's hidden, okay? And I'm acting as if you guys have the notes. So he has Yahweh in there. He has Mashiach in there. He has El Shaddai in there. He has the great I Am encoded in the book of Esther. All of these are encoded inside of the book of Esther. So the name of God appears 8 times in the book of Esther. 8, which what? New beginning, yes. Which is now Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? Remember 888 last night?
Yes. Kept,
no matter how we did it, the 888 showed us something about his coming, right? Then, all of these things happened in the month of Adar. And while I'm here, I'm going to try to look at Adar. But Adar, the month of Adar, is this month that this big victorious thing happens, and Purim, and all of these things, okay? So Adar becomes a very important month in the book of Esther. How many times do you think that Adar is mentioned in the book of Esther? 8 times. So now we're back to this, and then we say, what does the name Adar, that month, what does it mean? Glorious.
Yes.
As in my glorious return. the glorious appearing. Okay? So Adar means glorious, is mentioned 8 times. The name of God is mentioned 8 times. But Esther is mentioned in the book of Esther 55 times. So let's look at Esther, okay? So Esther is 55 times in the book. What other Hebrew words are mentioned or have the numerical value of 55? Kalah, the bride, is also numerical value of 55. Kalah means bride, okay? Also, look, Kalah also means the end, and it means consummation, as in a wedding. The wedding has been consummated. In the Hebrew word, uses the same word, Kalah, as bride and consummation and the ending of a matter, right? Mm-hmm. Let me see if I wrote Hakol. Now, Hakol means everything, okay? This is all, as if that's all, folks. Okay? That's all. Okay. Now, these are the two letters, Kalah. I'm going to find out who said this to me. These are the two letters, Kalah, that are being used here to say bride. Okay? This is crowning accomplishment. Okay? This is the shepherd's staff. And this is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So the shepherd's staff, and then you have this crowning accomplishment. So God makes it the bride to be the crowning accomplishment, and the shepherd's staff bringing you in through the Holy Spirit to be 55. God is something else. So as we're looking at this, we see that these two letters divide the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, right? Oh my goodness, now I need you guys to have a memory. Since this is the last letter, it now has to be written like this because it's the Kaf, and it's a Sofit letter. It's the first letter in the Hebrew that says it's an ending, it's a Sofit letter, which means the end. The first letter that's going to speak to you concerning the end is the Kaf, because it's the crowning accomplishment. So these two letters that's in bride, consummation, and all are the two letters that show you the rapture, okay? We'll look at that. The next letter after Kaf, and it's a Sofit, so it has to come down, is going to be Lamed, and Lamed goes up, Lamala, okay? So those are the two letters that tell the whole story of what God is doing, meaning he's going to come down first, and then he's going to go up. So then, if those two letters are right, that means every time we see the rapture happening or a wedding happening, someone has to come down before they go up. And Jesus has to come down to the cloud, and then he goes up, okay? And then who is that got married? Was that Isaac who got married? Isaac was going to get married. Eleazar went off to go find Isaac a bride. But Isaac didn't wait at his father's house for his bride. He went down south to Negev. And when he was down south in Negev, saying meditating, he sees Eleazar coming up, bringing his bride. And they both ask, who is this? And he goes, oh, that's my master's son. And she takes off she puts her veil over her. And now he came down to Negev, and then they met there, and he take her back up to the house that they had built for her and him, the chuppah. And then he consummated Kalah, the wedding, with his Kalah bride. Both have the same number as Esther is in the book of Esther. Okay? So all of this, God is like, I put this whole thing together so you can see what I did and what I'm doing. Okay? so that you'll know that I've set this whole thing up in not only words, numbers, and everything. I've set it up in a story so that you can know and understand. Now, this is the thing, what we call this beginning of the end. Now watch this. This is incredible. From Adar to Yom Kippur is 180 days. Do you understand that? From the first day of Adar to Yom Kippur is 180 days. So here we are before Nisan. Nisan will be Adar 1. I mean, Nisan will be the end of Adar. Nisan the first will be, now it's 2022, it's no longer 2021. So now Nisan finishes the year for God. So once we get to Nisan first, it's 180 days till you get to Yom Kippur. So what's so important about Yom Kippur? Typology. Moses comes down to the Jewish people, and know what he found out? Matter of fact, God told him to go down. Get out of here, go down there, because your people are sinning. He doesn't even call them my people anymore. Your people are sinning. Go down there and straighten that thing out. Moses comes down and finds that they're sinning, okay? And he lets them know that they're sinning, but he tells them this. You're sinning, but I'm going to go back up to the mountain for 40 more days. Or 40 jubilees, 2,000 years, 50 times 40 is 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back up to the mountain, and I'm going to make an atonement for you.
Yes.
So Moses leaves, he goes back up to the mountain, he's up there asking God to forgive Israel.
Yes.
Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years, and the church has been going, but you know what he's asking? We've got to rescue Israel. Eventually, we got to go back and rescue Israel. Okay? So when they come back, now, in the story of Moses, and you guys go read the book, this whole thing with Moses and his wife. When he finally marries this, when he finds out the Jews want to kill him, and he leaves, and he marries this Gentile bride, when God calls him and says, hey, you got to go back and rescue your people. It says Moses took his bride and his children, put them on, and headed back to Egypt. Now, if you know they were trying to kill you when you were there, why are you taking your bride and your children right back to Egypt? It's a typology. Okay?
Amen.
It's a typology. I'm just letting you know, when I come back to rescue Israel, I'm coming back with my bride. You understand? Mm-hmm. So the whole typology is just telling you this is what's going on now. Now, from this time to Yom Kippur, so after Moses goes up, he's up on the mountain for 40 days, right? Then he comes back down because now he came back down with a new covenant, okay? He didn't come back down to destroy them. He came back down after 40 days to give them the new covenant that he had to chisel out for them so God could, to let them know God forgave you and he's got a new covenant for you. He comes back down on Yom Kippur. Since he was with God, he didn't realize he was glowing. So when they saw him, they like, ah! And Moses goes, wait, come back. I have a new covenant. All is forgiven. And it says they turned around and came back to him. And he presented to them the new covenant that he had got while he was up there for 40 days.
Yes.
So here's Jesus coming back, right? Israel's been through a war. Everybody's trying to destroy them. But now they cry out, oh my goodness. The angels have been preaching throughout all nations that Yeshua is the Messiah. So now they say, Baruch Abba V'Shem Adonai, come, he that cometh in the name of the Lord, blessed is he. Mm-hmm. And so they're calling for Jesus to return. He comes back, and when they see him come back and what's going on, do you think that they're going to feel like they're secure? Because what they're going to see is a sword coming out of God's mouth, destroying his enemies. But they're going to be protected.
Your mic? Oh, yeah, it's still there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still here. No, it's not still here, Pastor.
Somebody said the mic is gone.
It is gone. It fell. So now, he comes back. He's going to rescue Israel. He's got his bride with him. All has been told. But one thing's for sure. The month of Adar.
You put it lower, Pastor. Much lower.
If I put it lower.
Right at the right.
I'm putting it right there.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's talk about how you set this up. You talk about 180 days of celebration. Okay. You talk about a feast that goes on. It happens in Susa, the Star of David. It's decorated in blue and white, Israel's colors. And you talk about the king not being pleased with his present bride and saying, we've got to set her aside and get a new bride because she's not acting right. So he sets Israel aside, her aside, and then he says, now I want you guys to go out and find me a new bride. Mm-hmm. And they find hidden Esther, and they bring her into the palace, and the king sees her, and he says, of all of them that came in, he loved Esther, right?
Yes.
So now, on the third day, Esther comes in. He extends the scepter to her, and he comes in and he marries her on the third day.
Yeah.
Okay? But still, Israel needs to be rescued. Okay? So now you have the whole Feast of Purim and the whole thing, and then all, this whole book ends in the book of Adar. On the 14th day and 15th day of Adar, which means the middle of March. Okay, about the middle of March is going to be the 14th and 15th of Adar, which is Purim, which means that do we make it all the way to Nisan first? Or is this a Purim celebration that's going to happen in the middle of Adar? But one thing for sure, 180 days from the end of Adar to Yom Kippur, when Jesus returns, is 180 days. Mm-hmm. Okay? Is the 180 days. Okay? So, here, let me look at some.
10 minutes, Pastor.
I got 10 minutes? Yep, I had all of that in there. See that? I have a good memory.
God bless you.
Okay. Okay, we did Kalah. We did this. We did the walk. Okay. All of that is done. So I wanted you guys to know that in about 6 or 7 days, Adar will begin. We're already in Adar 1. Next month, they're going to have Adar 2. What have I been telling you all year? The calendar's off.
Right.
It's like us having December 1 and December 2. Because we know we messed up. Right?
Right.
So they're going to have Adar 1. We're in Adar 1 now. But next month is going to be Adar 2 because they realize that their calendar's a month off. So Adar 2 will be next month. And then that's when the prophecy of Esther and everything happens in that month in Adar. Okay? That's when what is hidden is revealed.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So it just happens to be that all the other prophecies are aligning at the same time, okay? And so as God is trying to show the world and show born-again Christians, because God already told me in the beginning, I didn't call you to be evangelists, although I want you to evangelize and to lead people to Christ, but I'm calling you for one reason, to prepare my people to leave. This is your mission. Prepare them to leave. Now, if I do anything other than preparing you to leave, I'm not doing what God asked me to do.
Amen.
And by preparing you to leave, all I'm saying is, if you stay in Christ, in relationship with Christ, you will be ready. Okay? If you fall out of relationship with Christ, get back in relationship with Christ, because at that time, you're not ready.
Right.
Don't backslide and say, once I'm saved, I'm always saved, because you'll die like that.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Because you won't be ready. And my whole thing is to make sure you're ready to leave. Because
yes.
I want to guarantee you one thing. That trumpet is going to blow. Okay? And the scripture says the whole world will be terrified. Okay? And the same scripture says they won't see us again till they see those who left without dying return.
Yes.
Okay? So all the people they saw disappear are going to return. They won't see us again till the end of the tribulation.
Yes.
But the whole world is going to hear the trumpet. And the whole body of Christ is going to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
We're going to hear the voice of our shepherd. And only the sheep know the voice.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
We know the voice of our shepherd. Now, so why does God use lament? It's a figure of the shepherd's staff. So the shepherd's staff is going to speak here. And once it speaks, it takes you up. Because lament, lamata, is the only letter that goes up. Kof is the crowning accomplishment. So in order to get to lament, you've got to come down because you're Sophie. It's an ending. I sit around my house like this and go, how did you do all this? You know, I mean, we read about 1967, 1948 and situating the scriptures so that it matches the year last night. We talked about that last night. And we're like, how did he do that? Sometimes you just sit around and you go, how did he do that? How did you, 2000, make sure that Israel go into Babylon and then tell us the year that Israel is going to be back in Israel, 2,520 years they'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you control that people, that they would be in this place to be able to go back after that time? How did you do that? This is what I want to know. How did you make Donald Trump announce to the world that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews? I really want to know. You know, I mean, I met the guy, you know? So, like, when I was 19 years old, right? And I'm like, here this guy is, and you convince him. It wasn't that he's some great born-again Christian.
Right.
But God used him to fulfill a prophecy so that 1917, 1967, and 2017 were all 50 years apart.
Amen.
Which means, this is for the crazy people, the sabbatical year is 1 year before the Jubilee. So if the Jubilee was in 2017, when was the sabbatical year? 1916, right? If 1917 was a Jubilee year, a year before that is the sabbatical year. If 1967 is a Jubilee, the sabbatical year would have been 1966. If 2017 is a sabbatical year, that means 2016 was the sabbatical year, right? So all of this stuff, nobody should be able to come to born-again Christians and say, the Jubilee is going to be in 2023 or 2024. How many years do you have to wait before you get a Jubilee? 50 years. That means there won't be another Jubilee until 2067.
Right.
So how people are announcing, the Jubilee is going to be in 2025 or 2023. This is what I'm saying. You're not following prophecy and you're not following what God has already shown you. You're doing YouTube videos. And you can't do that because, you know, you're saying the opposite of God.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
amen.
We are here and Kala means the consummation of the marriage. Kala means the bride. Hakol means everything, all. The kaf in the kalah means the crowning accomplishment coming down. The lamed is for the shepherd's staff and bringing the sheep up. The hay is the spirit that's going to bring you in. Okay? And what did we talk about last night? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the children he's going to bring up. Okay? All in the numerical value of the first five books. And so, I don't know. I wish God would just take me, because I feel like, you know, I should be able to drop the mic and just go home now, right? But whatever the Lord has for Sunday, we have for Sunday. But I just feel like with this war happening, with what's going on in Israel, with what's going on in the world, do you know the scripture that they left out of the equation that we put it back in? Remember we were talking about that one scripture? You know the one scripture that we put back in? You know what it says? After the plague. That's the whole scripture. It says, like, after the pandemic. That's the scripture they left out, that we put back in, that made everything light up and go, oh my goodness, this is all about the children of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. The children of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Wow. All in the first five books. Okay? And the one scripture they left out that God gave us to put back in says, after the pandemic.
Wow.
That's God. I mean, sometimes I think he does things, and we just laugh. Watch this. Watch this. So, let's pray out.
Amen.
If you don't have the book, the study on Esther, let me know, and I will get it to you. And,
is your mic still on?
No, I got my mic.
Oh, okay.
I can't. Thank you for whoever noticed that it fell off.
Yeah, a couple people.
I appreciate it.
Nothing like live chat.
Because I'm up here burning up. That's why I was probably going to take off my clothes.
Oh, you should have told me. I haven't turned the air on.
Oh, no, it's okay. You know. I shouldn't be burning up. Chris, we apologize. I'm burning up.
Had nothing to do with that three-piece suit.
No, it had nothing to do with my suit, because my suit looks good. I am not covering up my suit. I was in Martinique, man. It was like 90 degrees. I had on a full suit. They was like, this guy is either crazy. But I'm like, no, I work for a king. Now, I remember putting on a football uniform and going out there playing. It was 90 degrees.
Right.
And I dealt with it. So you think I'm not going to look good for my king?
Amen.
I'm going to wear a t-shirt and shorts? Nope, it ain't happening.
Go ahead, preach, man.
God, maybe you don't tell me. Get me started. All right. Now, here's the prayer that God commanded Aaron and Moses to say over the people. And it goes like this. It says, when you see my people, tell them this, these words. Tell them the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we will say Leitriot Beyom Rishon. Or the next time. All right?
Amen.
Let's go.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
All right.
You still have like a minute and a half to go. So you did great.
Oh, I did good.
You did good. Kind of missed the Q&A, though. But it should be back.